Good morning. I am Pastor Todd Mills. I am from Trinity Lutheran Seminary at Capital University in Columbus, Ohio. It is so good to be with you this morning. I have had the pleasure of knowing Pastor Bob for several years now. I finished a call 2 years and 2 months ago at Trinity in Brookville, Ohio, not too far from here. For the last 2 years and 2 months, I've been representing the seminary and Capital, and I've been in over 220 congregations, synod offices, campus ministries, universities, and colleges in 13 states, trying to raise up new leaders and raise money for full tuition scholarships. It's good to be with you this morning, and would you please join me as you are able and standing as we begin with our brief order of confession and forgiveness. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. And the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ, was given to die for us. And for His sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by His authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, your loving kindness always goes before us and follows after us. Summon us into your light and direct our steps in the ways of goodness that come through the cross of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Would you please be seated?
The first reading this morning is from the 9th chapter of Isaiah, beginning at the first verse. There will be no gloom for those who are in anguish. In the former time, the Lord brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land before the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you, as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder, for the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken, as on the day of Midian. The second lesson is from 1 Corinthians, first verse, beginning at verse 10. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the house of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God, the word of the Lord.
Would you please stand as you are able for the reading of the gospel? The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the fourth chapter. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness, they have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region in shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two older brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord. I forgot to say in my spiel this morning that with being in all these different churches, so I've preached in over 100 different churches in the last 2 years. Yeah, right? It's crazy. I always preface it with this. You do things your way, right? And you know the way. And I don't, right? So if I mess up, you can look at it one of two ways. You can chuckle and say, well, we'll give him a break. Or you can know this. I probably won't be back again, so you won't have to look at me anymore. And I try to have as much fun with this as I possibly can, because this is important to me. I miss being in a congregation. I miss being in a congregation with people every week. It's going to be Lent really soon. And what do you do on Wednesdays, right? You essentially are family again, and I miss all of those pieces. I miss the baptisms and even the funerals and the weddings and all those pieces. But right now, I feel like I'm called to this. And I want you to know I'm sincere when I say that I pray for you every day. I was about 5 years old, and I was at my grandparents' house. They lived on this little tract that was part of the original farm. My grandfather had transitioned. They had to finally sell the farm because they couldn't do subsistence farming anymore. And this is outside of Brookville, and it's literally this huge farm. And what they did for several years is they sold off plots where people built their homes. And the last home that they built was theirs. And they left this little tract of land out back so that they could still farm. And I still remember each fall at the end of harvest season of going and having the massive canning weekend where we went and canned everything. Now, it was later fall, and I had gone over, and at 5 years of age, I was helping my grandpa rake the leaves in the backyard, like all good 5-year-olds do. Now, we were taking a break and we were inside. I just washed my hands and I watched as my grandfather skillfully carved an apple, pulling out the seeds and moving around the hulls and exposing all of the beautiful flesh of the apple. Because even though he was about 30 years removed from being on the farm, he still had the language and the mannerisms and all those things that he had learned as a child and as a young adult. As he brought over the plate and sat it before me, I noticed the slices of apples on one side and there were seeds on the other. And as a confused, almost 5-year-old boy, I looked at my grandfather and said, "Grandpa, what are the seeds for?" And I remember him looking at me and he said, "Todd, I want you to remember something. We are all called. We're all called to plant seeds that will provide shade and sustenance. And in many cases, for people whom we will never meet." That is what we're all called to do, to plant these seeds that will help grow things in our world and benefit all of humankind. This morning, we find Jesus walking along the sea, getting ready to embark on his public ministry. And you know, I'm thinking, if I wanted to start a movement, right, I want to go and get the best and brightest people to be able to walk with me as we go on this incredible journey. And what he does is walk by the sea and picks out some of the most normal people that you could, some fishermen, some everyday folks, to walk with him. "Come, I will make you fishers for people." This is the same calling that is given to us, and not just a few fishermen and some others that he garners along the way. No, it's more than that. The truth is that we are all fishing for something in our life, regardless of what our occupation is, at what point we are in our life, whether we're in school, retired, whatever it is, we're all fishing for something. I want to ask you a question this morning. What is it that makes you get up in the morning? What is the God-given peace in your life that you think about every hour of the day? What is it that when your feet hit the floor in the morning, it drives you? What is it that makes your heart ache? What is it that you think about that goes across your mind before you close your eyes at night? That is the seed that has been planted by God in your heart. And there is still time to help plant those seeds in our world. Maybe now more than ever, the world needs the church to be the church, to share light in the darkness. But it's tough, isn't it? Because we don't always think of ourselves as purveyors of love and grace, that we have the strength and the capacity and the ability to plant seeds, to make a difference, to encourage people, to empower others. And it has a lot to do with our experience and the voices in our life. And a lot of times we don't always hear the right voice. It was spring 1992, and I was in my third class with the same economics professor at Sinclair Community College. And for those of you, hey, it is a corny slogan, but it was a great place to begin. I had the same almost 80-year-old professor. He was retired from a major university down south. He and his wife had moved up to the Dayton, Ohio area to help care for her parents. He had a great southern drawl. It was the first day of class, and I knew what was going to happen. I was excited. We were going to get done soon because he passed out the syllabus, and he leans over and he goes, "All right, y'all, you got the syllabi. You know there's homework due on Wednesday. Get out. I'll see you then." I'm thinking, awesome. This is great. I have another hour before I need to hit the shop, the factory where I had worked, you know, for several years and was getting ready to do another 10-hour shift. As my mind was racing to what I was going to do with that hour, since the quarter had just began, I heard these words, "And Mr. Mills, would you please follow me to my office?" What? I had gotten A's in both of his first classes, and I'm thinking to myself, it's just the first day. What did I do now? He meets me at the door, and he says, "Come on, son, this won't take long. I know you're heading to the shop, and you might even be fixing to find that pretty little wife of yours to grab a kiss before you go to work." My wife was a pre-nursing student at Sinclair at the time. As we get to his office, he opens the door. He says, "Have a seat. I won't be long. I asked for your file." And I'm thinking, oh, great, strike two. And he said, "Boy, I only have one question to ask. You did great in high school. You've done wonderfully here." And in good economics tone, he said, "Who sold you a bill of goods telling you you couldn't go to college?" And in that moment, I was transported back 5 years to my high school spring before graduation and back when I went to school, you only saw the guidance counselor for one of two things. It was your senior year and they were helping you figure out what was next, or they were trying to keep you from getting suspended. As I walked in, I had five letters with me, three acceptance, two scholarship offers, and a lot of questions because at that point, no one in my family had ever gone to college. As I went in, I was excited because I never thought that people would see me in that way. I sat down and I started with my questions, and they nodded and they were cordial for a minute. And I finally said, "What do you think?" And they said, "Well, you know, Todd, you did so much better in high school than any of us thought you would." Now, you see, I had brothers that were 5 and 4 years older than me, and they just blazed the path ahead of me. And they looked at me and said, "Maybe you should see if your dad can get you hired on at the shop. That might be the best thing for you." And I walked home that day and I burned all five letters and said, "Okay, God, I guess it means that I need to do something else." The professor could see my face. He could see it red. It was blood because I had all of those emotions, right? I had pure anger. I had fear and I had embarrassment because I was remembering that someone told me I wasn't strong enough. I wasn't smart enough. I wasn't good enough. I want you to remember something. For every negative thing that we say, that we hear, that we're a part of, depending on our circumstances, depending on our experiences, it takes 5 to 10 positive situations, remarks, and experiences to negate that one. As I sat with him, he could see that I was troubled. And he walked over and he put his hand on my shoulder and he said, "Son, there is nothing wrong with what you're doing. You're making an honest living. You're providing for your wife. My parents did that. That was how I got to go to college. And everything went from there. If you want to continue that path, that is fine. But I want to tell you, they were wrong." I don't know what it is, and I'm sure you probably don't know right now either. But boy, I think God's got his hand on you. And from that moment, I started listening to different voices. But it's hard, isn't it? When the chips are down, when things are going bad, when we make a mistake, when we think about putting ourselves outside of our normal everyday life and doing something beyond. Do we think about all the times that we've been successful? Or do we think about all the times that we screwed up and we failed? It keeps us from doing what God calls us to do. The world needs you to plant seeds, to provide shade and sustenance. Now, there are going to be places where you plant seeds right here in your community, in your workplaces, with your friends, that you're going to see immediate growth. But there are other times where you're going to plant seeds and you're never going to see what came of them. But I want you to stop and think. Look at the stained glass windows for a minute. Aren't they amazing? How many of you were alive when they were put in? How many of you know the people, though, that maybe gave the money, that had the foresight? How many of you were here when they built the church? How many of you have relatives and friends and parents, though, who were part of that? Because they saw the need and they planted seeds. And this, it doesn't just provide shade, but it provides sustenance, right? And it provides light. And it provides growth, and it provides opportunity. Now, my story is similar, right? I bet every one of you has at least one story just like this. I had a gentleman last night who just hugged the stuffing out of me, and he was in tears, and his voice was cracking. And he said, "You are so right. I was back in that moment." Let's take a minute, do a sidebar. We're going to see if you're awake. It's 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, okay? We're going to see if you can repeat some words. These are from scripture. You'll pick them out, but we're going to do them as sentences. I'll give you a few words. I want you to repeat them back. Can you do that? Say sure. Okay. All right. Okay. Here we go. I will not be afraid and be strong in the Lord. I will never give up hope because God's hand is upon me. Okay, now some of you are spread out. I want you to turn, not look at me. You get to not look at me for a minute, okay? Look at someone nearby. Look at someone nearby, turn yourself, you know, push yourself in a direction, whatever it might be. And I want you to say this to them. The world needs you to follow the call that God has placed upon your heart. Those are three simple sentences. They come from Scripture in many different places through the Bible. And they are pieces that are supposed to be planted in us as a reminder. And it feels good to hear them, doesn't it? To be reminded. Not only are we called to live a life of sacrifice and dedication and following Jesus as being fishers of people, we're supposed to be dedicated to it, right? Paul says essentially that when we come out of baptism, we are walking soaking wet. And we're supposed to share that wherever we go, it never leaves us. I truly want to thank you for your support of Laura and Dan and Cody. And what I want to tell you today is I'm going to ask you for a little more. I'm going to ask you because of that great need that I touched on a little earlier, because we need to raise up people. And we can do this. It's really simple. I know those numbers, 1,000 full-time, 600 part-time, it freaks you out. I'm a kid who grew up in Brookville, Ohio, outside of a cornfield. When my kids got past algebra in high school, I said, "Y'all on your own. Talk to your mother." But I knew 6 months in, I had to figure it out and break it down and make it simple. And I knew it was easy. And it is. There are 65 synods across the ELCA in America. If we were to raise up 10 new leaders every year for the next 10 years, 65 times 10 is what? 650 times 10 is what? 6,500. There'll be 425 retirements plus every year for the next 10 years. That will get us where we need. So what I want to ask you is to do the same thing that you did with those three other young people. If you see a second career person, a young person, and you see them blooming and blossoming, during this time of transition, this is one of the most incredible times where we find leaders in the church. People that you see who are doing amazing things in the church. And if you wonder, I wonder why they never went to seminary. Quit thinking about it. Ask them. Because, you know, we have no problem saying, "Did you have a hard time getting to church this morning because of the snow?" Right? No, you know, I mean, well, hey, did the Buckeyes won last night? What'd you think? Huh? Right? All that stuff. Why not ask the question? You know what? You have gifts. I think God has His hand on you. Have you ever thought about going and being a servant in the church? We need to ask those questions. That will bring up those leaders. And the other thing is $10 a year. If every member of the ELCA gave $10 a year for seminary education, that would fully fund all seven seminaries, give full tuition scholarships to every student who showed up. Every single one. So I'm going to ask you to do something simple. I'm going to ask you to pray. When you get up in the morning, feet hit the floor, instead of going to, "Okay, here's my to-do list," the first thing I want you to do to remember how blessed you are is to give thanks. 10 blessings in your life. It is easy. Most of us, if we took 5 minutes, we could fill a page. Some of us have been through so much that we could fill a 70-page notebook. The next one is to pray for leaders and to pray about giving money. We can do this. It's about us planting seeds and being the church. And I know we can get there. And I know it because of Johnny. Johnny's a little 4-year-old kid. He goes with his mom to the store. They go to a little town, right? The little town doesn't have a grocery store. Mom and dad have to go like 45 minutes. Mr. Smith's got this 5 and dime. And if the kids come in with, you know, mom or dad to go to Mr. Smith's, he's got this great big jar of suckers up on a shelf. And if they come in after they ring out, he'll reach them across and let them get a handful. They're sitting there on this day. Johnny's going in. They check out. And Mr. Smith says, "Well, Mr. Smith's 6'8", 280 pounds, so the kids don't always want to talk to him." Mr. Smith says, "Hey, Johnny, you want some suckers?" He kind of peers back into mom and kind of shudders. And Mr. Smith says, "It's okay." He reaches in with his big paw and gets a handful, gives them to mom. They go out. Mom shuts the back of the SUV and goes, "Johnny, you are never shy like that. What is up with you?" Johnny's already got a sucker in his mouth. He pops it out. He twirls it around. He says, "You know, Mom, Mr. Smith's hands are so much bigger than mine." God's hands are so much bigger than ours, but God needs us to plant the seeds, to provide shade and sustenance for one another and for people whom we'll never meet. Would you please pray with me? Gracious and loving God, I give you thanks for this place and the people in it, for their faithfulness, for their ministry to the community and beyond. I ask that you prepare them for their new leader as they go through this time. May they see their incredible history and the opportunities that sit before them. Raise up leaders within this congregation to help move them forward. And may we all not be afraid to share your light in the darkness of this world. It is in the precious name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Called together, we boldly pray for all who long to hear God's voice. Holy One, your voice calls us to follow. Thank you for raising up missionaries in every generation. Show us how to be missionaries in this place and create communities of grace. Open our hearts to serve you near and far. Lord, in your mercy. Ruler of all, inspire faithful servants to run for local and national office. Create in them wise and courageous voices that will govern fairly and work to provide justice for all. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty rescuer, provide safe havens for all who are living where fear governs and evil divides. Give refugees and all who are seeking safety a path toward hope and new life. Lord, in your mercy. Healing Lord, bring wholeness to all who are sick, lonely, or grieving. We pray for all those who are struggling in this time, for those who are on our prayer list, for those this day who lie on our hearts. And Papa, please heal my mother, Dottie Morgan, who is fighting cancer. Let them all feel your presence in their lives. Lord, in your mercy. God of knowledge, thank you for faithful teachers and evangelists in every place. Inspire them to lead faith formation for all people who are searching for you. Lord, in your mercy. Risen Lord, we marvel at the meaning of your resurrection. Give us faith to place all hope in you as we give thanks for the faithful departed. May their witness help us follow your call. Lord, in your mercy. We place our prayers before you, God, united in your spirit, through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and favor and mercy and love, and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.